from the new recording lair located deep beneath the Wine and Spirit Store in Ephrata, Pennsylvania.
You're listening to the Masonic Light Podcast.
Studio 665 presents Masonic Light Podcast. This show is recorded by Masons, for Masons, and is for entertainment purposes only. And please, no wagering.
This podcast is not endorsed by any Grand Lodge, and the ridiculous ramblings of the hosts are their own. And now, here's your host.
Hey, everybody!
Ooh, need some more iced tea.
Welcome to the Masonic Light Podcast. Episode number 171.
171.
This is our ninth year.
Wow.
What?
Ninth year.
Isn't it?
It's not our ninth year.
What is it?
It's almost our ninth year.
Seventh.
Look at the top of the board.
Larry, first of his name.
Larry, first of his name. That's it.
Oh, 2016.
Okay, now he's doing math, so we'll see Larry after the first break. This is Tim, and welcome. We are glad to have you with us tonight. In studio tonight, we have Larry, we have Josh, and pinch hitting for Jack, we have Seth Anthony.
Hi, everybody.
It's good to have you here as a guest host.
Always good to have Seth there.
Yes, always good to have Seth. And tonight's special.
It's like he's part of the original team in a way.
Yes.
I'm the host of Last Resort.
Yeah, he's the host of Last Resort. And our guest tonight is Megan Purnham. She is the social media specialist with Grand Lodge Pennsylvania. And she's a return guest, a repeat guest, you may not know her by that name.
Dun, dun, dun.
What?
She wasn't married when she was on the first time.
Hey, I get her first name confused. Are you going to confuse me with two last names? Come on.
And so we're glad to have
Okay, what was her unmarried name?
Hess.
Hess, H-E-S-S.
Yes.
Yep. Is that right?
It was, like the gas station. That's what I was saying.
Exactly.
Like the Hess trucks.
Yes. You part of that family?
I am. Probably some relation. There's a lot of Hesses.
But did you get any residual from selling all those trucks?
No, I wish. That'd be nice.
Okay. That would be, wouldn't it?
But
she wouldn't be working for the Grand Lodge if that were the case.
Technically, Tim, I work with Masonic Charities, so Grand Lodge is only one of my sort of like in-house responsibilities.
Well, good. Thank you. I'm glad. Believe me, those layers run deep. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But before we kick off our interview with Megan, let's go around the horn and see what's been happening. Larry, do anything besides eating lately?
Tall Cedars meeting last night.
Okay. Did you eat?
Yes, we did eat. Okay. Yeah. And it was the first Tall Cedars meeting in the past 2 years where I could just sit with the people and not have to worry about anything. It was nice being past Grand Tall. Very nice. Mm-hmm. And Chris Gibson did a phenomenal job. Really did a great job.
That's Chris always.
Of course, he's doing it several years in a row, kind of like I did. But anyway, it was great. Yeah, Goose and Gridiron. That's pretty much it.
Did you go to your stated meeting last month?
Yes, I did.
Are you going this next month?
Oh, yes. Yes. You know why?
I do.
Okay. It's my 50-year birthday recognition.
Clap.
Although, by the way, I'll put this out here. In November, our first meeting in November, the deputy district grandmaster will be there to present my 50-year gold pin. And I want everybody in the whole world to show up, okay?
And Lamberville meets on the second or the first Tuesday.
First Tuesday of each month.
First Tuesday of each month.
First Tuesday.
Also known as Millersville.
It's Millersville.
The day after my lodge. I have it on my calendar already to come visit you
there. There you go. But please, come have fun.
All right.
I guarantee you it will be a fun night.
Seth's been very busy recently, Masonically.
Well, not in the last 2 weeks.
Well, you can talk about what you did 2.5 weeks ago.
Now that Masonic Week is done, the last 2 weeks has been relatively quiet outside of paperwork and life. I did enjoy some time with the Council Deliberation of the State of New York through Excelsior program last Thursday night, doing an online lecture. Bob Siebold and Powell and crew up there, so I appreciate the invite for that. And if you haven't checked them out, please do so. But other than that, my life is Masonic paperwork, much like Tim. Mm-hmm. So it's been quiet that way. I'm just printing certificates and sealing patents.
Keeping the post office busy.
They make a lot of money from me.
They just raised their rates, so they're making even more. So
thank God for Pitney Bowes.
Right. All right, Josh, how about you?
The only thing I did is miss Grotto.
You did miss Grotto.
I did.
You missed a good
You physically good missed it or you spiritually missed it?
Both.
No, I was thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to make sure.
He literally lives the closest to the meeting place of any of our 200 members or whatever we've got in Grotto. He could walk across the bridge and be there.
That one day I was wandering around Columbia and I get a text message from a random number. Are you lost? He was keeping an eye on
me. He does that to me driving up and down Interstate 83. It's like, why are you following me? All right. Megan, what has been in your life? Let's do work-wise since I guess everything you do is Masonic,
though. I was going to say, what I've been doing Masonically, I've been working.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's kind of been... You know, just ticking away. It's the beginning of the year. That means a lot of, you know, wrapping up end of the year stuff, a lot of reports, which is really fun. A lot of Excel spreadsheets.
Oh, boy.
Content calendars, because it's the end of the month. So that's always fun. I will be getting ready for another Youth Foundation presentation. The next one's in April. And so I'll be getting ready for that in March.
Excellent. It almost sounds like lodge audits with all those spreadsheets and numbers. Ugh. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're colorful spreadsheets, though, so it's not too bad.
Right. I'm sad to report that my life has become audit savant.
Tim the Taxman.
Exactly. I feel like it. Working with lodges, trying to get their audits squared away. And so, and you know, it's really a misnomer. I had this conversation with some folks at the Grand Lodge recently. It's really a misnomer to call what we do an audit. It's really a financial review, a financial statement, making sure they're accurate. And again, the two purposes of the lodge audit is to make sure that everybody's being square with the money, nobody's stealing it, and to assist the Grand Lodge in completing their IRS tax forms, because that's what's most important, because they're the reason we all are where we are. So anyway, that's been most of my life. I was at our council meeting. We conferred or we exemplified a degree there. We've been doing these office hours online for secretaries across the state and helping them out. And then Seth and I had some top secret conversations with another brother. At a secret undisclosed location.
At an undisclosed location.
So anyway, that's been that. All right. Before we go to break and come back and talk to our guest, we need to thank the sponsors of our show.
Hey, thanks.
Yes. Our sponsors, George J. Grove and Son, for all your home improvement needs. Hiram and Solomon Cigars, for all of your cigar smoking needs. What the heck is he doing?
I don't know.
Scott Helm Electric, Intermezzo by Stephanie.
The best of the choices.
Yes. But most importantly, our patrons on Patreon. I got that right?
Yeah.
But most importantly, viewers
I always
like
screw
you.
Those two words
okay,
up, too.
Okay, PBS.
Yeah. Exactly. This is our giving month. If
I haven't
call
got
them
my
out,
canvas bag yet.
We'll give you...
my canvas bag, too.
You'll get a free teddy bear and, you know, whatever. That's the Shriners. So, anyway, Larry.
Yes.
How can someone support us through Patreon?
It's like a pop quiz for him, really.
Yeah, we've been trying to test him, you know.
I don't even come to this show, and I know it's as low as $1 per month.
$1.
$1, yes.
For as little as $1, you can support this show.
I happily get surprised once a month when I go, what's this $1 charge on my credit card?
Exactly. Oh, and it's like, it's a dollar. I don't need to fool with it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a lot you can get for a dollar anymore.
That's right.
And this is part of that, not a lot.
So there's that. And then we need to also remind folks that we're available on all the social media platforms. And we've tried for 3 episodes now to re-promote our phone number.
Do we know what it is?
We do. I've got it right here tonight.
Oh, you better repeat that.
Well, because for three episodes, I keep saying I'll look it up, and then I never look it up.
Oh, this, by the way, if you leave a voicemail, it might be 4 or 5 years till we listen to it, but that's okay.
No. We're checking it like every other day now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We check our... We'd
like to reach you about your extended warranty.
That's right. That's right. All right. So to reach us, to leave us a voicemail, or to call in and say, this is such and such, and you're listening to the Masonic Light Podcast. Josh loves those. We'll put them on the show sometime.
I always forget about
them. The number is, Larry, do you remember it?
No.
315-59-MASON.
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 Do you know how difficult it is to take those letters and correspond it with a number?
Well,
that's just too much.
From the guy who worked at the phone company.
Okay, yeah, from the guy who worked at the phone company, right. So, for those of you who are, I guess, letter challenged, that is 315-596-2766.
Nothing aggravates me more when someone puts down the 800 number and they spell a name out there, and you have to spend a half hour trying to correspond the number with the letter. It's just a real pain.
Well, since they took away the dials, you know.
You know, those buttons on the jitterbug phone have gotten smaller.
Did you learn the alphabet?
Yeah, I learned the alphabet, but not a corresponding number.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our guest, Megan Purdom.
Good job, Mary.
Why choose George J. Grove & Sons for your next home improvement project? At George J. Grove & Sons, we've built our reputation on quality and trust for more than 50 years. From planning to materials to installation, George J. Grove promises a home improvement experience second to none. Whether your goal is reducing energy costs, decreasing maintenance, updating curb appeal, or simply increasing the value of your home, the George J. Grove team will recommend and provide solutions that stand the test of time. Call 717-393-0859 for an estimate or visit us at georgejgrove.com.
And we're back. Tonight's guest, come on guys, wake up. Tonight's special guest is Megan Purdom. Megan is a repeat guest here, so she didn't run screaming from the room last time.
Nope.
So we're glad to have you back.
Yeah, good to be here. Thank you guys.
So since I screwed your title up in the first part of the show, tell us what your title is.
Well, what's on my business card is social media specialist for the Masonic Villages of Pennsylvania. That's also on my LinkedIn. Connect with me on LinkedIn if you want to. I like it there. But I like to introduce myself as social media specialist for the Masonic Charities because really what I do is so much more than the villages. And that's how I've been introducing myself in my presentations that I've been doing for the Pennsylvania Masonic Youth Foundation and the Masonic Youth Groups. So I think that's more accurate. But if it's what's on my business card, Masonic Villages.
Cool. So tell us what that means.
It means a lot. It means if there's a social media presence, I probably have some hand in it.
So the Masonic Charities are on Facebook?
And the individual charities, not the charities as a whole.
Oh, okay.
So,
and what are the five Masonic charities?
Oh, are you trying to quit? Is this a pop
look
quiz?
Here. This is unfair.
Oh,
we'll talk about the unfairness of this in a minute, but okay. Go ahead.
Masonic Temple in Philadelphia, Masonic Library and Museum of Pennsylvania, excuse me. Masonic Villages, the Masonic Children's Home, Blood and Organ Donor Program as of this year. I think that's for, oh gosh, now I have to figure out what the fifth one is. The Outreach Program, but I don't think
you mentioned the Youth Foundation.
How could you forget that?
Set me up. Yes, of course, the Pennsylvania Masonic Youth Foundation.
So it's really unfair for Seth to be questioning here tonight because Seth, you want to tell them why, or you should I?
You can. That's fine.
Okay. Well, Seth at one time held this job.
Ten years ago. Back in the dark ages of Facebook and the internet.
When we were all on MySpace.
That's right.
Seth was in charge of it.
We were friends with Tom on MySpace. It was great. Yeah. We had a Friendster account.
Oh, my gosh.
Way back in those dark... Twitter was still Twitter.
Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
Skidmark the Goat was nary a glimmer in Pete's eye back in those
exactly.
days.
Exactly. All right, Megan. So the social media presence of all of those organizations is quite significant.
It's a lot of work.
Do they each have goals for their social media presence, or is it just literally pushing stuff out that promotes them or what they're doing? Or
I think a lot of it is visibility, and it depends. So like with the Masonic Temple last year, it was the 150th anniversary of the Masonic Temple. So a lot of our goals, you know, corporately was kind of how are we increasing visibility for this entity and, you know, celebrating the anniversary and things like that. But I would say the visibility is a lot of things because, you know, obviously in the Masonic community, people know what's out there. But outside, people may not necessarily know and what services are available to them. You know, like we still get at the villages, people still think you have to be a Mason to live there. And it hasn't been that way for a long time.
That's true.
So with five Masonic charities that appeal to five very different demographics, what is your approach to managing the brand voice across those five different entities, including the Grand Lodge? You know, add that in there and some of the other work you do. Because how you approach talking to old guys and Masons like us is very different than how you approach folks who might want to support the Children's Home or be involved in the Youth Foundation. How do you approach managing that brand voice?
Yeah, of course. So you got to look at what I think the one of the best things to do is look at what content the audiences respond to most, and that's kind of what you're putting out there. So you're saying, oh, like, you know, the Children's Home, they really like to see pictures of the kids and the things that the kids do. So we kind of want to deliver that content to them versus, like, those villages, you have a lot broader audiences because a lot of it's employees, and they want to see what things are going on for them and what things that they're doing with residents, and the prospective residents want to see what's available to them, and families want to know what it's like to live there. So it's sometimes these entities that have a bigger audience are a little bit more challenging because you have to think about multiple groups' needs. But once you kind of see what people are into and what people are responding to, I think that makes it a little bit easier.
So what's been your latest super successful post that you're super proud of?
Oh, that's a great question. I got to think about that.
Not forwarding the latest episode of the Masonic Light podcast.
No, they want people to actually look at stuff.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, let me think. Well, it's the 200th anniversary of General Lafayette's visit to the United States, and there's a lot of things we can do with that with the Masonic Temple because they have a lot of Lafayette artifacts. So the other day we repurposed an old video that we had done during the pandemic about some Lafayette artifacts, and I got some nice comments on it, so that, I was happy with that.
Nice. Excellent. Thanks. What's been, since you've been there, has there been a particular item or a series of things that just really blew the roof off the likes and retweets?
Engagement, the word.
There we go. Engagement.
I think any time that you're showcasing stories, so whether that's a resident story or for the Masonic side of things, you know, a member's story, people respond to content that is sharing, you know, things that are positive, things that are this person's experience. I think those personal things, that's a lot of what people are really responding to.
Well, the article you did on us went bazonkers.
It's one of my favorite articles that I did.
That was just
which is an interesting night because you came here to interview us.
That's right.
And you brought your camera in. I mean, it was really...
I did.
And we kind of slowly turned it around. We were interviewing you.
I know. It was like, I'm not used to being the one. I'm used to being the one asking the questions. I'm not used to being asked questions.
And it was a great show.
Thank
it was
you.
Well listened to. People liked, responded well to it.
That's good. I mean, you guys did a great job. And I think that article turned out very well.
Yeah. We do have a habit of bringing people in here, not under false pretenses, but thinking that, you know, things that...
It's called bait and switch, Larry.
Yeah. We've done that many times, and it always works.
It's a good time. It's a successful tactic, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, Megan, we're sort of lucky here in Pennsylvania to have a social media professional as part of our Masonic charity staff. There's a few other Grand Lodges that have that, but the vast majority of Grand Lodges do not, and certainly most lodges don't have that. What's some advice that you can give those amateur social media managers out there that are trying to raise the profile of their lodge or their Masonic charity or their related organization that they might not be know or be thinking about?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked, because I actually brought with me
a list
of advice, because
it's called a softball, boys.
I've been putting this information together for, like I said, for my presentations that I've been doing for the Masonic Youth Foundation. A lot of those have been focused on helping the youth groups amplify their social media presence. So I brought some of my tips that I usually give people, and I'm happy to make this document available
uses a lot of big words,
whoever
too,
wants
you know
it.
That.
I read a lot. I read a lot, Larry. Drew, would my husband who's here, would probably tell you too much. So that's why I use big words.
Well, you have to make it like Sally, Dick, and Jane for Larry to take it in. So
sure.
She has no idea who Sally, Dick, or Jane
are. I know. Okay. I remember that. I'm not that young, Tim.
I'm still stuck on Amplify.
Yeah, let me think. I'm just looking at my list here and trying to decide what would be the most useful. I think one place, the great place to start is the person or the people who should be managing your lodge, district, appendant body, social media. It should be the ones who are the most excited about the prospect of doing it and people that actually have the time to do it. That's not necessarily the youngest person or people that's a member of your group or the people that are the most tech savvy.
Wow, that's good.
Whoa. That's an interesting point.
It really is.
You mean I could do that?
No,
you're not capable.
She said she had the word skill in there.
And excited.
Both
those things. Yeah, we learned very early on when we started those pages that it was much more about just getting regular content out there.
Yep.
And, you know, you might get one good piece of content out of five, but it was the constant drumbeat of content that really drove the growth of the pages and what we were doing.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest challenge, is getting somebody who's willing to dedicate consistent time and effort to do it day in and day out.
For sure.
And know that it's not always going to work, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's another piece of advice I give people, is you got to find a posting schedule that works for you and that's reasonable with the amount of time you have to invest. And 1 to 2 days a week is honestly a great place to start for a lodge. That's perfectly fine. You're not like a big brand. You know, you don't need to be posting 7 days a week. And you should really only pick one or two platforms to start and really focus on those. You know, maybe your lodge is older, it's Facebook. Maybe your lodge is younger, it's Instagram. You just have to look at who's in our group and what are platforms that they're already on and where can we reach them? And where are the people that might want to join our lodge? What are they on? I think that honestly, a lot of what I see from looking at a lot of like lodge and district pages is a lot of people are kind of halfway there. Like, you're already putting in good work, but there's just small things you can do to like improve what you're already doing.
Like spell things correctly.
Yeah, that's the other thing I say, is you always want to have two people, or at least one, you know, one other person look at your content before it goes out. So like when I post things, it goes through, you know, my manager reviews them so that if there's an error that we catch it before it publishes, because people are really nitpicky about typos. And I understand that, because I also am nitpicky about typos. I'm just not going to call a brand out in their social media comments, because I know the person on the other side, they're someone who's exactly like me.
Yeah. They're sitting there in terror going, oh, crap.
Yeah.
I hit send.
Yep.
There's nothing worse as a social media manager than to be sitting there on a Saturday night when you haven't posted anything, and all of a sudden you're getting pings and engagements and you don't know why.
It's like a nightmare. Yeah. So if you just take that time of like, hey, I'm going to do this post about, you know, maybe your lodge has a pancake breakfast coming up and you're going to post a Facebook event. Before you hit send on that Facebook event, just take a screenshot, send it to someone else and say, hey, can you look at this? Do I have the right date? Do I have the right time? Is this graphic of a pancake okay? You know, it takes maybe 5 minutes, but
have
it's
the location
save
of
you.
The event yes. on the thing.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's small things like that. When you're posting about an event, you want to have all the information, because then you're cutting down on the potential of people asking you questions that you could just easily have answered right in the post. And I mean, that you have to rely on the fact that people are going to read. And we all know that people don't necessarily read. But if you're putting everything out there for them, you're trying to set them up for success.
This is a little podcast inside baseball, and Megan might know this story. Back when they launched the new Grand Lodge website here, last year, roughly?
Yeah.
they had this great picture on the front page of these five young, great-looking Masons. And I emailed them and said, you know, that's the Masonic Roundtable guys, and none of them are from Pennsylvania, right?
Right.
And that photo quickly got changed to pictures of you in Eureka West Shore Lodge.
Exactly.
So we got
the call one summer, I think it was during the pandemic even, that they were looking for some stock photos. And
You're stocky.
We were livestock. So
livestock photos.
Can you get some guys to show up in tuxes and some guys to show up in polo shirts and whatever? And I said, we can do that. And we must have had, 15 or 20 people show up that night.
That's right.
And they still get a kick out of the fact that their pictures are out there. And every now and then they'll pop up somewhere new. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I saw one of our pictures.
I mean, I still see stuff that we did 10 years ago on social media and put out there that will resurface randomly. Pictures that we took, things we made just for social, some memes and things that show up. And it's weird to see that stuff 10 years later get recirculated on some weird website or maybe some fake Grand Lodge page. And we'll get to those very soon because Megan's having fun with those that just steal your content. And that's a whole nother problem.
It's very frustrating.
So talk about those fake sites out there.
Everyone is having this problem. I want to preface by saying this is an industry-wide problem. This is not just something we're experiencing. Facebook is not good about doing things about them. So there are things that we're doing to work on it, but it's hard because Facebook is not doing their end. It's not holding up their end of the bargain, which is to have a platform that can feel kind of brand safe. And Facebook is not very brand safe right now, but brands don't really have an option, at least if you're a brand that's targeting people that are still active on Facebook. So, you know, you just got to roll with the punches, unfortunately, but we're working stuff.
So in essence, what happens is, someone will just create a page and call it the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania or Pennsylvania Masonic Charities or whatever.
And steal all your pictures.
And steal all your pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've seen it where your friends want to refriend you and you go to their page and there's like three pictures and the name and nobody else. Same kind of thing happens to content creators.
Yeah, and I would say if people come across something and you're not sure if it's from an official entity or not, just stop and look at it, because a lot of times they look really good if you take like a first pass at it. But once you start breaking down like, oh, is this the right email? Is this the right phone number? Things like the page category. The email's especially one, because I feel like a lot of these emails, you look at them and you're like, no way would an official entity is not going to have a Gmail address. Like, you guys all know, everybody knows the right domain. It's not going to be a Gmail.
Larry, do you know that?
So,
what?
Do you know that official companies don't have Gmail addresses?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all just right. Taking the time to stop and say, hey, is this the right entity? Do I want to engage with it? Especially if it looks like they're selling something. Yeah, if you're not 100% sure it's official, don't buy something. Because it's hard to get your money back, and these fake pages and companies don't care.
Right. Well, and the people that really get targeted are people like my mother, who forever has been convinced that Ed McMahon was going to show up on her doorstep one day and drop her a check for $1 million.
Larry's still convinced of that.
Well, yeah, and then I try to tell her, Mom, he's been dead for, 10 years now,
he is?
Or whatever. But
I just saw him with Johnny Carson the other night.
Yeah, that was on MeTV, Larry.
Oh.
So Megan, part of what we want on social media is for folks to share the kind of stuff that you're putting out there. But then there's also the challenge of, one, sharing the wrong kind of stuff or things from those pages, or just sharing things without attributing them. So what's some good best practices on what kind of things you should be sharing? And when you do share it, how should you attribute it, or how should you address that?
Are you talking about like content that's coming from a page, or just generally what's a good way to share things?
I mean both, because you're creating content that's getting put out there and folks are resharing it, and that's great. But at some point you hope that they attribute, like they don't just copy your text from something and copy it into another thing and go, look, we created something new.
Yeah, don't do that. That's shady. I have had that happen before and I don't like it. And nobody likes it when that happens. I mean, the reason is these platforms, they have a share function. It's not like you can't share posts through the official share function. You don't even have to write anything if you don't want to. But getting that, if you like the content and you want to get it out there, sharing is a good way. If you share a post and you want to write your own commentary, feel free to do that. But sharing the post from the place that you got it is always good. If it's somebody else's content, so not a brand, you should probably get their permission before you share it. I mean, that's what brands do, but I still feel like as an individual person, especially if it's not someone you know, like if you're going and resharing their stuff to your Instagram story, it's still good to be like, hey, can I reshare this?
And I should just go to Google Images, search whatever I want, and then use that, right?
No. Definitely not. Because that's the whole thing is right now a lot of brands are doing these memes with, you know, photos of, like, let's say Taylor Swift and, like, Travis Kelce. And those actually, you're not allowed to do that. They can sue you. But I think a lot of people are like, well, I'm like a small brand. It's okay if I do this, or Taylor Swift's not going to sue me. Yeah, she's probably not, but you don't want to take that chance. It's technically, you're technically breaking the law.
So am I breaking the law with my Godfather memes to tell people to pay their dues? Yeah, probably.
The actual law, maybe. The moral law, absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, I should probably cut back.
But that also goes back to Lodge websites and things, because as folks are building Lodge websites and building that social media presence, the hardest thing of building a website is good imagery.
Right.
So the natural inkling is, I'm going to go out there and just steal somebody else's really good imagery, yeah. Which is why we have those photo shoots here in Pennsylvania.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, those photos are appearing on other websites that we have nothing to do with, and
right.
It becomes a whole thing.
Yeah, I think that being the ability to get your own stock is really easy. It's not easy, but it's something that people can do. You know, if you're making a Lodge website or a Lodge Facebook page, it's easy to go and take a picture of your Lodge and be like, that's your header. You know, especially if it's, you know, it's your Lodge, you're the one running it, you know what interesting stuff you have that could be, you know, maybe you have like a really old book and you're like, this could be a cool social media post. You know, I think a lot of times people don't realize how much content is there at their fingertips until they really start digging into it. And once you start making things and seeing what people respond to, then you're like, oh, I could get this idea. Because I think even if there's not everybody that's running it, everyone in your group can contribute to your social media or online presence in some way. You know, maybe it's a guy and he's a 75-year member and he has some great stories that he could share, or somebody who's really into Masonic education and could do, you know, so-and-so's book reviews every week. It's just, you got to think, or somebody has a really, you know, robust social network and can really share your posts and get it out to a large group of people. It's just kind of getting creative of like, how can people be involved in this? Because I think when more people get involved, the more successful things are, because people are like, oh, I was part of that. I want it to succeed.
Everybody has portrait mode in an iPhone, and you can get some great photos.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of portrait mode in an iPhone.
So I've tried to convince people both at my lodge and at my church who I try to, you know, we try to promote the social media aspects of that. Trying to tell them to use the portrait mode on the phone is much more effective when you're dealing with social media than the vertical, whatever you call it.
You want to make sure that you have the phone sitting on your stomach and it's shooting up under your double chin.
Right, exactly.
And then take your profile
picture. Just
look at Larry's photo. It's very similar.
That's all you got to do. Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and have more with Megan Burnham.
As far back as the mid-1800s, records exist describing the pre-meeting tradition of brethren smoking cigars during and after gatherings. To this day, the practice of smoking cigars remains very much alive in many lodges. This custom is considered a time for brethren to relax, exchange ideas, and enjoy the simplicity and fellowship that is the very essence of our brotherhood. This is what Hireman Solomon Cigars is all about. Our starting principles are to bring Masonic brethren together in the harmony of a good cigar. Pull up a chair, sit back, light up any of our premium cigars, and enjoy the history. Hireman Solomon Cigars can be found at fine cigar retailers. For a complete list, visit HiremanSolomonCigars.com or check them out on social media to find out when they'll be at a live event near you. Hireman Solomon Cigars is pleased to be the official cigar of the Masonic Light Podcast.
And we're back.
Tim puts on the "we're back" voice. We know we're officially back.
Yep.
Well, see, we tried to let Larry do it a couple shows ago, and we just went off.
And we're back! I have to pick on Larry. I love him too much.
So, Megan, before the break, we were going down your list of kind of helpful hints for social media.
Sure.
I think you have a few more of those you want to cover.
I do have. I'm just looking at the list here. I would say another great resource is community pages and groups. Obviously, you have to see if your town has a community group or a page that's active. I would tread lightly with these because sometimes they can be fairly toxic. The group in my hometown, there's several, and they're all awful. But sometimes they are useful. So I wouldn't use them organizationally to post and to promote things. Like if we were having an event for something, I wouldn't go put it on a community page. But it's a great resource for something like, hey, our lodge is having this fundraiser. And it's something that people from the community can attend. Or if your lodge is having an open house or something, that should go on your community page and just kind of keep an eye on the comments. And then the events feature too on Facebook. If you're having an event, you should make it a Facebook event because I think they're useful. They're good for that. Facebook events is like one of the only good things about Facebook, and even that is saying something. But they are useful, and I think it's a good way because it gives your page content. So you can put your event as a post, but then if you do an event, a specific Facebook event for it, that's expanding the reach and getting more information out about it. So those are two things I'd look into. I know the private groups versus the public groups, a lot of people are using those pretty well. So you can decide if that's a tool that you want to use. The private groups are good because then you can just sort of filter who's in it.
Is that the real advantage of the private groups is just who you let in?
Yeah. So I think it's good to have a public, something that's public facing because that's good for if you have prospective people that want to find you. Obviously, if you have a prospect, you're not going to, invite him into your private group right away because you don't know what's going to work. That person's going to work out. But if you have a public page, then they can kind of see here's the vibe of your group and that sort of stuff. And then if they end up joining, you can invite them to your private group. And then it's something that if you have a place that's I need to put some information out and I need to get it out to people that are already here, but it's not necessarily something that needs to be public, that's a private group is a good place for it.
So talk about the differences between groups and pages.
Sure. So a page is something that, anybody can follow. There's an admin, there's logins. That's another thing is if you set up something new, no matter what platform you're using, you always want to make sure that multiple people have the logins in case something happens. You don't want to lose access to your account.
That's a little close to home.
I know. That happened to, I think, everybody.
Make sure Pete's not the only one who can get into the email.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a general thing. A website, an email. Just if you have something that needs a password, you should make sure that multiple people have that username and password. I got locked out of my Starbucks rewards. I'm very upset about it.
Oh, no.
Because I had gift cards in it. So I need to figure out how to get that back. But it's just an example. It's something that happens that, has happened to a lot of us. And it's just a good thing to remember, especially when you're starting something new. So, yeah, a page is something that anyone can follow. And there's only select people that have access to posting on it versus a group. If you're a member of a group, you can probably post to your Facebook group. And some groups have invites. So maybe you have to answer questions, I'm in a group about orange cats. And so when I went to join this cat group, they were like, are you going to follow the group rules? And you say yes. And they say, what's your favorite color cat? And the answer is orange. That wasn't the question, but it's just an example. And so the reason that they're set up that way is because they want to make sure that people aren't going to come in and spam your group. And that's something I do see a lot with public groups that don't have enough screening, is people will just come in and write completely off the wall spam posts. So it is sort of like a content moderation type thing. But a group, a group has admins. Sometimes it's connected to a page. Sometimes it's not. If it's public, anybody can join. If it's private, there's, parameters. But I think the groups feature is one of the things keeping Facebook alive. A lot of people use it. A lot of brands use it. There are some big brands that are really doing a lot of interesting work with Facebook groups right now. But it's a good tool. And honestly, almost everything else on Facebook except for ads, it's free.
So here we had this conversation in my lodge, and so I just bring it up here. We have a private group.
Yeah.
And that's clearly very closely monitored about, and it's got the questions and so on. But then we have another group that is, we know that especially within Freemasonry, and if you're in proximity to other lodges or other bodies, if you post something out there, you want guys outside of your circle to see it.
Right.
And to be able to respond to it and so on. And so we've actually, the key, I think, what you said, though, is when you have those public type of groups, you've got to monitor them.
Yeah.
You've got to stay on top of them.
Yep.
And so we've got a couple folks that do that really. Multiple times daily are checking it out and making sure that when,
the prince from, you know, Madagascar posts that, you know, he's found the true light of Freemasonry or whatever, you can immediately go in and take care of that.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's great with, especially with pages, is you can go in your settings and you can set, you know, these are some keywords that if someone comments on my post and it has, like, you know, a specific keyword, maybe it's a swear word or, you know, Illuminati. That's, I mean, that's a popular one for us. Uh-huh. So then their comment is automatically hidden, because a lot of these spammers, what they'll do is, this is why I don't like this, is they'll go in and they'll leave a comment and they'll tag, like, everyone that commented on the post. And so if you, you know, set these parameters in place, then you're not, you know, setting people up that might click on the stuff. And so that is one thing. I know I've been, you know, ragging on Facebook a lot, but that is their, I feel like that part of their content moderation at least is working and is good. That you can go in and say, oh, like, if this person's profile doesn't have a profile picture, or if it's a new profile, or if they don't have any friends, you know, comments that come from people that have those type of accounts are automatically hidden. And then you could go in and decide if you want to unhide them, but normally they're just spam and you want to, like, block them and delete them.
So in additional peeks behind the curtain, Meg and I work together on the Academy of Masonic Knowledge Facebook page, which I think is still the biggest page by number of followers that you guys manage, right?
Probably, yeah.
Because I think we have like 25,000 followers on that page.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big presence. And we get a lot of these types of spam and garbage posts. And some of it is truly just spam and garbage.
Right.
Some of it is people who are just misinformed.
Right.
And maybe they're posting something. So how do you go about moderating that kind of content, where it could be somebody who's ill-intentioned, or it could be somebody who just doesn't know what they're talking about?
Through ignorance may evilly or despitefully speak of us.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. It depends. I mean, if they're misinformed, a lot of times if you have a good community, which we fortunately do in a lot of our pages, your community a lot of times will jump in and they will educate people. And I think that's really good, because that is more sincere than a lot of times it's coming from a brand. So sometimes you step back and you wait to see if that education portion is coming. And, you know, with these people, you have to tread very carefully, because even if you try to give them the right information, sometimes they will still spin it off. So you really have to weigh every situation. Fortunately, a lot of times some of the stuff that's really off the wall comes in like a private message, and then, you know, you can sort of handle it on your own terms. You can report it to Facebook and say, hey, this is spam, like, I don't want to deal with it. They have this little red button. It's like a red exclamation mark, and it says, click to teach Facebook that this conversation is not important. And that's like a newer feature, and I really like that. So sometimes I'll just be like, boop, if it's not important.
So, and related to that, recently and nationally, we've had a lot of issues with attacks on Masonic halls and centers.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Attacks on Masons.
It's terrible.
So what are some safety tips from a social media standpoint? We talk about tell everybody what you're doing and when you're going to be at your lodge and all of this. What should we be cognizant of from a safety standpoint of maybe we need to temper some of that from a safety perspective?
I think we need to go back to the 1800s, take down all the signs, insignias, hide everything.
Larry would like his rotary phone back.
He wants the rotary phone back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think it is good to think about. Yeah, yes, you want to have your meeting time and location available, but you do have to think. Like, I hate that you have to be like, oh, we have to think about the worst. But you do have to think. Like, if someone is a bad person, they can probably get a hold of that information pretty easily. So that is a good. If you have something going on and you're like, maybe, you know, maybe you want to put it in a private group. So maybe it's like, you know, you say, oh, we're meeting on. Maybe this is like, oh, we're meeting this day. Actually, I don't really know. That's a great. I'm just thinking.
There's two sides to this coin, right? There's the side of, one, you don't want to know when there's, perhaps if you're really concerned about a bad actor, hey, there's going to be 300 Masons gathered in a small huddle at this time at this place. But opposite, it's like when you have those messages on Facebook 10 years ago when I'm old, when they would say, don't post when you're going on vacation, because then folks know when there's nobody at your house.
Right, I've heard that too.
So same idea. If you post, well, the meetings are on Thursdays from 7 to 8, they go, building's probably empty pretty much every other time.
Right.
Maybe that's the time if we're going to try to do something. Don't go on Thursdays between 7 and 8.
Right.
So it's trying to balance your want and desire to engage with the community, but also recognize the safety and security of your members and the site you're operating. It's a challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge, yeah. That's actually, I hadn't thought about that. I should have been probably thinking about that more. But so thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah, we've had that discussion from an Academy standpoint on a lot of times in a lot of cases because we meet at the Masonic Village.
Right.
We're very public about the Academy and inviting people, but thankfully we have a security detail at right. the Masonic Village and there's some extra parameters in place. But if it's just your lodge and you're doing something, unfortunately with some of the issues we've had lately, that's a real concern for guys that we've
had to think
about.
We need to take care
of
the village people.
That's right.
Yeah.
Larry's got to get there in his sailor suit.
That's right.
I just gave some guy who I didn't recognize on
sending Did you give him your credit card?
A text. No.
Okay.
No.
I just gave some guy my credit card and social security number.
When our Tall Cedars Forest mates. So
sure.
I gave him the information thinking, I don't know if I know him. His name is Jerry Richards.
Well,
everybody in the world knows Jerry.
Well, now everybody in the world knows who he is.
I had the yes.
He's on the podcast.
Yes, he has. And he's also plays Santa Claus at the Valley of Reading every year.
Parents, cover your kids' ears.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, Larry. Oh,
so, Megan, other tips on your list? Did we cover them?
Just looking at I think, you know, I think you talked about when you're having something, you want to get it out to a larger group and like people beyond your lodge. And one way, good way to do that is you want to follow the local lodges and your district chapters, you know, but also follow those national and international bodies because a lot of times they'll pick things up. You know, I know Shriners International, they pick a lot of stuff up locally. DMLA International, I actually know their social media manager. I've talked with him before. So they pick a lot of stuff up from the DMLA chapters, and that's a good way to get visibility on the things that your group is doing. And they might be doing some of these organizations that have full-time marketing staff, they might be doing things, and you're like, oh, we could do a version of that. So one thing I saw, you know, there's this meme format, and Seth, you might know this, but people have been doing the we're blank, of course we blank. And I think
little
it was
videos,
Connecticut or the Connecticut Order of the International Order of the Rainbow for Girls, their Connecticut chapter did. Assembly did this, you know, we're Rainbow Girls, of course we do this, and they did all the different things that are like associated with Rainbow, and I thought it was a really fun, you know, fun video, and I thought it was like, this is something that anybody could kind of create, because every group has these sort of like ins and outs, so like you could say, you know, we're Masons, of course we eat green beans, and I know that's kind of a stereotypical one, but
Larry loves green beans.
I'm sure you guys could come up with something better, but sometimes it's sort of looking at what are these big brands doing, or what these big groups doing, you know, what are sort of things we can recreate, because you know everybody in your group, everybody in your lodge has a story, and some of those stories might be really good for social media. So you know, I like when it's like, oh, you know, this guy's like a third generation Mason, or like a, you know, I think one time we did an article for the Freemason magazine on it, it was like he was like a seventh generation Mason, and I think those some stories are really interesting, especially if you get into the nitty gritty of, well, it's like, well, why did you join? You know, I think that's a question that I always like to ask people that I'm interviewing, is I want to know their why, because I think that is really compelling to people. And, you know, obviously, you know, you guys are all involved in the fraternity. It means something to you. And so, like, what you want to know, what does it mean to other people?
Well, Seth and I are on the Grand Lodge Committee focused on the 250th anniversary of the founding of the country coming up here in a couple
lots
years.
Of stuff.
And one of the things we're doing is interviewing. We've asked each of the district deputies to identify – you know, maybe the oldest person in their district.
Sure.
And especially.
Have they talked to you yet, Larry?
No.
Not yet. He's on the list.
He got me thinking about him.
But, I mean, one of the things that with the individuals that we have talked to already, the stories are just so amazing.
Right.
And when you talk to them about how did you get to Freemasonry? And, you know, some of them are the ways you might think. Well, right. My buddy in the trench with me over in Italy or somewhere,
sure.
You know, blah, blah, blah. Those are good. But sometimes they're, you know, the guy that was working in the mill with me right next door had always been a Mason, and I always looked up to him. And it's the stories of how those folks came in, not so dissimilar to our stories today, but when you put it in the context of where we were as a Commonwealth and as a country back then, is incredibly fascinating. And so I'm looking forward to continuing that. But it goes back to your thing about hearing the people's stories.
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the kind of content that performs well, I think, is that, I mean, there's a lot of things that go viral because, you know, oh, it's like this cat that like fell asleep and the cat is in a funny position. But I think the sort of stuff that really lasts and a lot of stuff that I really look to create is like, are you learning something? Like, did you learn something, or did it make you think about something, or is it a good story? Because that's the sort of stuff that lasts, you know, and anybody can take a trend and sort of put together like a viral video that's like real flashy, but you know, you want some content that really makes people think, and you know, or is like, oh, it makes me, you know, it evoked a memory for me or something like that.
This is the content we spent a lot of time and effort creating. Oh, it got 5 likes. That's great. Here's a thing I took 3 seconds to put together. 8,000 likes.
Right. It
never fails that the thing you put zero effort into. Here's Shaq wearing a Masonic ring. We love this content.
It's just like, oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is
the bane of a social media manager.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting balance of like, you want to give, like how to give the people what they want, but like how to give it to them in like a valuable way. You know, so a lot of the stuff, like a lot of information, you know, like you said with the Academy page, there's a lot of this information that's out there that it's like, well, people can get a lot of this stuff from any source. Why would they want to get it from us?
Sometimes they just want fun dip and sugar. And you have to give it to them.
Exactly.
Yeah. But sometimes it's nice that the low-hanging fruit content is the good performing content, because sometimes your brain is just like fried and frazzled.
That's Friday when you go, I don't know what to post this week.
What are we posting this week?
Here's a picture of Shaq wearing a Masonic ring. That'll do well.
That'll work.
Never fails.
But, you know, you got to find what your, like, they say, like, your content pillars. You know, I always, like, I do these social media reports every year, and I do, you know, what was the best performing post? What was the post that performed the least well? And then I look at, the top 5 posts for the year, and I say, like, what are the trending topics? And so that kind of gives me a framework for the year of, like, okay, well, people really like these things, these topic areas.
Yeah, that reminds me. We're still taking entries in the Flat Larry contest. Really? And so for those of you...
I put a lot of effort into my
entries. You did. You know, you remember the Flat Stanleys?
Oh, of course. I was actually afraid of Flat Stanley when I was a kid because I was afraid that I had a bulletin board and I was afraid it was going to fall on me, which tells you a lot about the kind of kid I was.
So we implemented, a Flat Larry contest.
Yes, I remember seeing that.
He's been to the Uranus Fudge Factory in beautiful Anderson, Indiana.
Yeah, he's been in several lodges. He was at Stonehenge, where he was working on the creation of it.
Classic.
Trying to think of some of the more interesting. Well, he's been on the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, we need more Flat Larry.
We need some more Flat Larry. So if you're a listener out there, go back and scroll through our social media.
And the real Larry's just shaking his head.
That's normal.
All right. Well, Megan, it's been great having you here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we need to play Copious Dues with Seth.
Oh, God.
We'll do that when we come back.
Hello, brethren. Dutchie Duck is here to bring you an update from my lodge, the Brogan Plaw number 377. As all of you know, the month of February brings with it 3 important holidays: Valentine's Day, President's Day, and for us Pennsylvania Dutch, the most important of the 3, Groundhog Day. For anyone who lives in our great Commonwealth, you all know about February 2nd and the tradition of Groundhog Day. But according to Brother Larry Maris, that's even funnier, there are people all over the world and on other planets who listen to this show. So I should inform our uninformed brethren all about this unique day. The practice of using animals to predict the weather dates back to pre-Christian Europe. In the Rhine River region of Germany, where most of the Pennsylvania Dutch can trace their roots, they traditionally used a batcher on the 2nd of February to predict the oncome of spring or the prolonging of winter. Now, when our ancestors got off of the boats in Philadelphia, they brought this tradition with them to the New World. But they quickly realized that there weren't any batchers in Pennsylvania. They had to adapt and chose an animal that was plentiful, the groundhog, or, as we say, grunsa. The tradition lived on. Now, when the groundhog comes out of his burrow on the 2nd of February, tradition states that if he sees his shadow, he gets scared and runs back into his burrow, signaling 6 more weeks of winter. If he comes out and does not see his shadow, he stays outside, signaling that spring is right around the corner. the famous, or infamous, Punxsutawney Phil, the most well-known groundhog in Pennsylvania, predicted an early spring this year, a rare forecast. We shall see if he was right. For us at the Broken Plough, we too carry on this time-honored tradition. Our valley has our own groundhog, Neisteckersville Nick. Old Nick is paraded out every February 2nd, and he gives us his weather forecast from his burrow just beside the ton manure pile. This year, he agreed with Phil and predicted an early spring. Now, we at the Broken Plough use Nick to help us as well, but for a more glorious purpose. As far back as our records go, our lodge has been using Nick every November to help with a task that has nothing to do with predicting the weather. Every fall, our worshipful master is tasked with naming an audit committee. Our records state that at the 1845 November meeting, when the topic was brought up, all eyes in the room looked to the ground, trying not to make contact with anyone. It was then decided by our ancient brethren to handle this task differently, and we carry on the tradition today. At every November meeting, Old Nick is brought out of his burrow and placed on the lodge room floor. The worshipful master will then announce that an audit committee is to be formed. At that point, Nick starts walking around the room. The first three people that he stops in front of are automatically chosen to serve. You could call it animal instinct, the Holy Spirit at work, or just plain chance. Whatever it is, once Nick has spoken, there is no way to reverse the decision. Last fall, Old Nick wandered around the room for over 5 minutes before he made his choices. Everyone was anxious with anticipation and praying that he wouldn't stop at their feet. Now, to many of you, this might seem crazy or just plain nuts, but to us believers, we won't argue its validity. For as sure as the groundhog can predict the coming of spring, he too can predict the proofing of our bank books and our financial future stability. And son of a gun, he's been right for over 170 years. Now who can argue with that? Till next time, work hard, stay plumb, and out in the lights when you leave the room. To learn more about the Pennsylvania Dutch language, culture, and history, please visit my website, padutch101.com, or my YouTube channel. Just search for Doug Maidenford or PADutch101.
It's time to play Copious Dudes!
Yes! Wow, that's really impressive that Jack can do Copious Dudes when he's not even here.
Isn't that amazing? The modern aspect of technology. So Copious Dudes tonight is, we couldn't do it with Megan because we'd all get it right.
Yep. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. We're trying to recruit her spouse here, so... But he's in some other organizations. So anyway, Seth.
Hi.
We're going to try to guess how much
we
pay in copious dues. This is dues only.
To
Masonic organizations.
Just making sure.
In a calendar year.
Yes. Okay. I have a number.
So if you're a life member and you paid it before this year, it doesn't count.
I do not have that in.
Okay.
You're good.
All right. So we're going to try to guess how much Seth pays.
Would you like a count of organizations?
No.
That'll skew the results.
No
clues. We would not want to do that.
All right.
Now I just got to get the number for myself. But go ahead.
All right. Megan, would you like to play?
I would love to play. I really enjoy listening to Copious Dudes.
So how much do you think Seth pays in Copious Dues?
I'm going to do like a throw a highball here and say
$2,000. $2,000. Josh.
$3,121.48.
$3,121.48. All right. You're next.
$1,198.
$1,198. That's Larry. And I am going to guess $1,234.90. I boxed him in. All right. So to review, Megan guessed 2,000.
Josh Guest, $3,121.48. Larry Guest, $1,198. And I Guest, $1,234.19. Now, this is without going over. So, Seth, how much do you pay in copious dues?
It's a good question. I have a spreadsheet. We backed out some math for Oddfellows things and other groups. Based on this count, and this is organizations I'm actively paying dues to, not a life member, those things.
Okay.
27 separate organizations.
Wow.
For a total of $1,399.04.
Wow!
Good job, Tim.
How about that?
The 4 cents is an oddball.
Where are you paying 4 cents?
It's a group that has a couple of like they pay twice a year and there's an assessment
and
in
a
there.
Fee a part of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's all that crazy. That.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, well,
so just about $1,400.
You almost caught our highest number,
which was Jason Craig.
Yeah.
At $1,400,
mm-hmm. You were like a dollar short.
But Jason's got the J. That's a big dollar group for him, I think. And my highest is DMLA International at $275 a year to be a member of DMLA International.
27 organizations.
27.
Wow.
Well, and if that's the things I'm paying dues to. Let's not count life memberships. Right. There's more. Joshua associations and all that.
Wow. But still, 27 organizations and that amount of money, that's not that bad.
No. Really? Commercial for the fraternity, based on the value I get in return.
Absolutely.
It's worth every cent.
Excellent. Oh.
Worth every cent.
So we didn't tell Seth tonight he was going to have to play copious dues with us, but
I came prepared.
He did come prepared. That was great.
Just in case.
In case. That's right. Well, again, Megan, thank you so much for being with us today. What's on the horizon for you in the next couple of weeks?
That's a great question. I mean, like I said, I have another presentation at the Pennsylvania Masonic Youth Foundation. So they're having what they call their Power of Five Summit in April, and that is representatives from all five of the Masonic Youth Groups, which is DMLA, Job's Daughters, Rainbow Girls, Ruth Mitchell Tucker Girls, and Knights of Pythagoras, and those latter two groups are both Prince Hall, and so all five representatives from all five of those groups. I think they said it's going to be one adult and one student for one or two adults and students from each group will be at this summit, and I am going to present something to them. TBD. It's probably going to be very similar to what I've done in the past, but I still need to, you know, get my head together with my good friend Dave Barry and see what he wants me to say.
Very
so,
cool.
Otherwise, just, you know, working on stuff. It's exciting times right now in our office because my one coworker just had her first child, so we're getting lots of baby pictures.
That's great. Very cool. Josh, how about you?
We got Lodge coming up.
Yeah. Looking forward to not going to that?
You know.
It's my birthday.
What's the program?
I'm not
Larry.
Sure.
Larry's birthday. That's the program.
Oh, that's your real birthday, or that's your Masonic birthday?
That's my Masonic birthday.
Okay. I thought you said November.
That's when I get the golden pin.
Oh, right.
His yeah. emblem of gold.
The official, chocolate factory.
The emblem of gold. Okay. Anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, we don't have Grotto till after our next show.
Yeah.
All right. Because you're going to come to the next one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you don't,
I meant to come to this one. I really did.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I just, you know.
But if you don't make the one in March, that's okay. Just make sure you make the one in November.
Okay.
Stated meeting. Larry.
What am I doing? I'm
eating.
Going to a lodge meeting next week.
Yeah.
Go see Gridiron tomorrow. Tall Cedars executive board meeting on Wednesday. I'm busy.
You are?
Yeah.
How long has Goose and Gridiron been going on now?
I think 16 wow. or 17 years.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
Every Thursday, it's tiring.
real commercial for that.
Imagine going to a breakfast every Thursday for 17 years with Larry and his friends.
I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
Exactly.
You know, you want to factor in the cost of that. That's about $10 a week. That's $500 a year times, 16, 17? That's a lot of money.
No wonder you don't have a retirement account.
No.
There you go.
Better be a good breakfast.
Yeah.
Now you know why I can't go to the home. Can't afford it.
Seth, how about you? What do you got coming up Masonically?
Well, this weekend is an Allentown weekend with all the bodies that meet in Allentown, so I will be up there. The following weekend is a District Deputy Grand High Priest Retreat for Grand Chapter. But most importantly, let's plug the Academy. Coming up Saturday, March 16th, at the Masonic Village at Elizabethtown, starting about 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll have our March Symposium of the Academy of Masonic Knowledge. Two really great speakers, Brother Brett Gordon from Florida, speaking on heraldry and Masonic symbolism, and he's going to do some live heraldry demonstrations, that's my understanding. And then in the second speaker is Brother Ralph Shelton, who is involved in the Masonic Charities of California, who is also a magician and a member of the Magic Castle and a member of California's newest affinity lodge, the Ye Olde Cup and Ball Lodge number 880. And he's going to be doing a little bit of mix of magic and education live. So one of those things you definitely want to show up for in person, because you're going to be missing out if you're just trying to watch it on the Zoom.
Sounds
for sure.
God, swords and knives and magic. That's going to be awesome.
All we need is some fire and we'd be in good shape. Oh, but maybe Ralph will bring some fire with him. We'll see what happens.
And for our folks that live outside of the confines of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania,
there is a Zoom link.
They can tune in as well.
Yep, we will publish the Zoom link via the Academy of Masonic Knowledge social media presence. Hopefully Megan will help us with that and do all those things. And it's usually recorded and placed on our website after, so you can check it out.
Excellent. All right. So as I said at the beginning, I'm scheduled out literally probably till the end of March, helping lodges with their audits and secretaries and trustees and so on. That's a lot of this. Seth and I actually have a America 250 committee meeting on Sunday. And then you mentioned the Academy coming up on Friday the 8th, the Big Valley of Harrisburg. I'll be attending the Lodge of Perfection line. Actually, I'll be attending all of those meetings, but I'm in the Lodge of Perfection line, so I'll be there.
How long have you been trying to be perfect?
Yeah, well, you know, we're the Lodge of Perfection, so.
Gotcha. You're working on it. We all know Rosecrans, the best line.
So interesting. Well,
we're wise after all.
Monday, if you're listening to this the day that the show drops, Eureka West Shore Lodge number 302 in Mechanicsburg will be having our March stated meeting. It is our kilt night, and so there are a lot of crazy guys that show up. And yeah, it's a sight to be seen or not to be seen.
Yes, yeah.
It's something. But we'll be having corned beef and cabbage, which is a recipe for
A fragrant evening
with the brethren. The guest speaker that night is none other than the illustrious John D. Cook, 33rd degree.
He's not going to wear a kilt, is he?
No.
I might come to the meeting if John Cook was wearing a kilt.
He's going to be speaking on the perfect Ashlar. So give that some thought and then come listen to his thoughts on the perfect Ashlar. And then, also on Monday, and, I think we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge that, on Monday, is the 1 year anniversary, of when we lost Pete. This show wouldn't exist, if it hadn't been for Pete and the work that he and Larry did early on. And, I know there's not a day go by that I don't think about him. And I know that this show will forever be in his debt for all the good things that he did. So,
and it was at an Academy of Masonic Knowledge meeting that he got the idea, and he talked about starting a podcast. I think the guys from
California.
It was the Masonic Roundtable.
Roundtable.
So they're responsible for this.
Yes. Yeah, they're kind of responsible.
And they've rued that day ever since.
It's all Ruark's fault.
Yeah, Richards
definitely
and Ruark's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
A proverbial toast to Pete in his absence.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. So I guess that's it for here at this time. Josh, you ready to cut those chickens loose?
Cue the chickens.
Larry, are you ready tonight? You sure? Okay. They're out.
Special thanks to Everett Lodge 665 for allowing us to continue our broadcast from this beautiful studio, and also for hosting the number one Masonic podcast in the world.
Really?
Put that in your Masonic Roundtable.
I don't think that is a verified number.
I don't think that's a verified
number. No, we can't really. To Josh Lamberton, our producer and director, doing another fine job. Jack Harley, our news director, who is noticeably absent tonight. Thanks, Seth, for sitting in. Seth Anthony.
I noticed Jack was absent, so it's fine.
Yeah. But we have a great guy sitting in for us, so thank you very much. To Tim Denman, our marketing director. To Michelle Snyder, Doug Maidenford, and Austin Schiffer, and our Masonic Light podcast contributors. And to our listeners who always make doing this show worthwhile. This is Larry Maris, and thanks for listening. And remember, have fun and do good.
This is Tim.
This is Seth.
This is Megan.
This is Josh.
Hey, Carol! Hey, Carol! Carol! Bring us some ice!
Bye, everybody. Everybody, need some more iced tea.